Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. I want to thank you for joining me here for another episode here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. I want to first thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning. And I also want to apologize for the delay on the show because it seems like my internet didn't want to work right, but we are here. So let me log the pastor on. Good morning, Pastor. How are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm doing good. Lord. I was about to go to the gym.
You know what? Well, you go to the gym with your bad self because I've been riding a little bike that I bought for Maria. My daughter said, Mom, can you please get this bike out the living room? I said, I'm riding it, so I'm doing my exercise so I can watch TV. But I got grandkids messing with it, everybody. So I figured since I got it, I better use it. Because me in the gym, I tell people I got a lifetime membership, the 24-hour fitness center, and them people haven't seen me in so long. I just make sure I keep my membership because one of these days – So today's topic has to do with finding scriptures to fit your situation, just like you talking about the gym. Now, when individuals are going through, one often turns to their Bible, as many was taught that the Bible was considered the book of instructions before leaving earth. Many also will practically run the church to the church house expecting to hear a word from the Lord, as they believe that they don't know what to do about their situation. Now, the Bible can be what's considered a double-edged sword and can be a pierce the heart. Now, whenever stripped of its context or mangled, it can be twisted in order to apply to one's particular situation or the particular person. The blade can become dull and ineffective. And, Pastor, you know, that's one of the things that a lot of individuals complain about and that we're seeing in the church. Now, I've often heard many believers say that they need a word from the Lord. One can also obtain scriptures to address a situation, but what is one to do when the word is being watered down, misquoted, or altered to fit one's situation? So, Pastor, that's what we're going to be talking about today, because I was looking at some information in regards to even verses and quotes that are misquoted, that I was finding so much stuff that I can't wait to bring this to your attention. So let's get started with the show, Pastor. What you got to say in regards to this?
Well, as always, I mean, there's a lot to say on it, and the key word I want to talk about today is there's a couple key words. The first one is apologetics, and then dogma. And apologetics is knowing how to rightfully and skillfully make a good gospel argument or a biblical argument regarding the scriptures, or to answer questions scripturally to people the correct way. And it always points to God. And then dogma, from the Greek also, or to be dogmatic about the scriptures, is the literal meaning of scripture, and that has a subword to it being context. And so context is so huge when we're looking at scripture literally, because context has to be looked at in a fashion of, number one, what is the setting, you know, as far as time period, what are they addressing at a particular point? Context is also the emotional or the psychological point of view that the writer or that Jesus was trying to make at that point. And also it has to do with the theme of the conversation and the general direction that Jesus was pointing to scripturally. And what I mean by all of that is that Scripture backs up Scripture. The Old Testament will back up the New Testament will back up the Old, and the Bible is relevant, and the Bible is also, how can I say this? The Bible tries to, well, I don't say try, the Bible does keep its central theme and context the same. And what I mean by that is that a dove is always going to represent the Holy Spirit as a sign, okay? An angel is always an angel, you know, and by the Bible doing that, God keeps things in context, you know. Water is always a symbol of the Holy Spirit, also it's a symbol of life, you know. We can take those things, those symbols, and use them as a key. It's kind of like when a person has a crossword puzzle, they need to know the key. When there's a map, they have a key as a key reference, and the Bible gives us that. And so a student of the Bible understands this, knows it, and when they hear a scripture, they know how to search that scripture out, how to read it in context, how to find the backup scripture to that verse, okay, and how to look at it overall in context and get the true meaning of the scripture. And so I'm going to open up with that statement right there.
Now, you know, Pastor, and it's interesting as you were talking, and a lot of times, and I found pictures. I always try to find images of things that relate to the topic. And one was a Bible, and it said, read this. Or, you know, it has something to do with the reading it. And it's interesting because I know when I was going to Friendly Church of God in Christ, one of the things that Pastor used to always talk about, Pastor Woods, was about Sunday school and the importance of Sunday school and Bible study. And we can talk about that a little bit, too. And now we have what's called, you know, you get your Bible, you got these apps, you got people reading it to you. So you don't even have to read it. You can listen to it. Because I used to go to sleep listening to it. And then when they did that that series, The Bible, and they broke it down where it was more ethnic, and we was listening to people that we knew, quoting the Bible or reading the Bible, that was very powerful also. So, and some individuals learn more about the Bible just by watching the movie series, The Bible. Now, we also have Bible bullies. And those are individuals that will say that they know the word and then constantly sometimes will interrupt the scriptures or add stuff to it. So I found some information, and it says straight out of context, and it was dated July 6, 2017. Now, we know that the word of God is an absolute necessity. We know that. And all 66 books were inspired and authored by the Holy Spirit of God using 40 human instruments. Now, the Bible is not merely a collection of quotes or one-liners, but is literally the word of God. Now, when scriptures speak, God is speaking. That is why we must approach the Bible with extreme care. And when we start talking about intentionality, how it is read, memorized, and quoted is of the utmost importance, especially when you're talking to babes in Christ. Now, however, Christians often misunderstand, misquote, or misuse verses in the Bible. Now, these are some of the things that I found, Pastor, and it was interesting when I was looking at this because it says the five most misused or abused Bible verses. And the one is, and it's people's favorite, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Out of context.
Yes. Right.
Tell us what that means.
Well, I'm a back up just for a minute, and then I'm a member of Philippians 4 and 13. So, I think it's important for the believers to understand, first of all, I mean, when you're talking about the Bible, there are over 300 translations now.
Mm-hmm.
And for every single translation, there is a 10 to 15% drop-off. So I want people to write that down. I want people to hear that. And what happens is Bible historians like myself, Bible professors, teachers, are almost in the 79 to 90% range on saying that the King James Version of the Bible for the English Bible is really the only true translation out there. And the reason why is that if you miss one word, you know, you can throw off a text of a scripture by 50%, 100%, and you lose the whole, you know. I tell somebody, you know, to, if I tell him, you know, I'm going to be gone, I want you to take care of my car. I'm going to be gone, I want you to watch my car. That could be a whole 2-3 different meanings to most people, maybe 100 different meanings. I come back, my car could be tore up. I come back, my car just may be in the same place where it is. So context is huge. The reason why this is so huge, is, Jeanette, is because we're talking about people's souls. And then we're talking about teaching. And so, first of all, the teacher is held accountable. I had to back up because you talked about Sunday school. So when we put the Bible together, we must understand it comes from the Hebrew language, it comes from the Greek language, and it comes from Aramaic. And when we look at these, none of these are English. And the best translation was the King James translation because it was so meticulously done. You know, the monks were there. They were given no other duty but to translate the scriptures. And they had someone watching over them. There's somebody watching over them. There's somebody watching over them. I believe it was to the 10th degree. And so it could not even be brought to the king. It could not even be brought forth until. And then this translation, when you take it and then they compare it to the Hebrew, the Greek, the Aramaic, it's 100% on. And so now because of modern language and people wanting to make money, because I should have said this in my introduction, but I didn't. It has been, it is, and always will be the most popular book on earth. It outsells any bestseller by millions. And so, therefore, it's going to be copied, Jeanette.
Correct.
I've seen the children's Bible. I've seen the black woman's Bible. I've seen the African Bible. I've seen the Jamaican Bible. I've seen, you know, the Anglo-Saxon Bible. I've seen then we the New King James, which tries to be close to the King James, but it's still off. And we have the NIV. And so we have all these different, like I said, there's 300 of them. But often we believers astray. So I wanted to hit that first. Now,
We got some callers calling in. Let me log them in and see if they have any questions, and then we can continue. Because, like you said, it's very important that we don't give individuals information that's not accurate or not correct. Okay, we got a caller logging in, number 03. How are you doing? Welcome to Princess Predicaments Blog Talk Radio.
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, do you have any questions thus far?
Yes, I just would like the pastor to address the most famous, stop judging me, you can't judge me, put that in context.
Yep, that's another one on there too. It says, judge not that you be not judged. That's Matthew 7:1.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Another one out of context.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to address that, Matthew 7:1. And then I'm going to go back to Philippians 4:13. So here's what you do. So what we do is, if I was teaching a lesson on this and somebody wanted to know Matthew 7:1, I would have them go to that chapter in the Bible. We would go to the book of Matthew, okay? And then we would go to the sixth chapter first, because I have to always let people know when I'm teaching a class that the chapters and verses were only put in for us. Writing a letter, you're writing a letter. And when Matthew was writing this book, this letter, he was writing it. Matthew never put in 7:1. Okay? And so what happens is when the translation was done to break this down for the king, okay, that's when they found the best breaks through prayer, through supplications to break this down into chapters, into verses, so that the common man could understand it. Because remember, the reason why the King James Bible was written in the first place, so that every man could now have the word. Because the priests were empowered, because they were the only ones that could look at scripture. And they had it memorized, and they had this, and the other people were just at their power, at their disposal. Okay? And so when we do this, we have to go back up and we read I often have them read the 4 or 5 verses that precede this, okay, to take
mm-hmm.
everybody into the frame of mind of what the writer was thinking, and then we come back and we read this. And so for the sake of time, I'm just going to hit this verse today and go after it. But that's what context means, okay? And so,
mm-hmm.
Right, do not judge, or you too will be judged, all right? And when we look at that, we want everybody to understand that we are fruit inspectors, okay, as the Bible tells us that in the book of Galatians, that's how we judge a saint by their fruit, okay?
Yeah.
And so you can judge a believer, but
yeah.
what this verse is saying is then don't expect not to be judged yourself,
mm-hmm.
okay? It's in Matthew also where it says, you know, don't look at the log, the mote in somebody else's eye or the little, and when you overlook the log beam in your eye. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and so, like I often say, oftentimes we are our own biggest critics, and when I say that, I mean the church. Okay,
yeah.
So do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. That's a cross reference to that verse. So for the people that are listening, that.
Okay,
so
let me log on earlier.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to log on another caller because they've been on for 4 minutes already.
Okay.
But let me
log on. Yeah, I'll finish that thought after we log on the call.
Gotcha. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Pricey Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing? Okay, it's last for a number. Okay, one just hung up, but the other person is still on with the number ended in 3-2, but they're not saying anything. Okay.
So to finish that point, what he's saying is that this is not meant for the believer to be silent when they know in their heart God is using them to help another believer and they're doing it through love, okay? It's meant as a tool to let the believers know that we're not to use the scriptures in a vain way or in a powerful way to put someone else in their place or
mm-hmm.
to use it as a position of power to usurp authority or to make another believer feel guilty, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so God does give us that permission for us to help each other, but we are to do it in a godly way. Now, through Philippians 4 and 13, I mean, this one's powerful because, you know, I can do all, right? Through him gives me strength. And so this right here has to go along with Romans, my most powerful verses that I love, and, you know, mm-hmm. Romans chapter 8. And so it's not for somebody who just walked out and said, I'm saved now and everything, you know, I'm going to be able to do everything else. I'm superwoman.
Mm-hmm.
What this is saying is that it's really pointing to, if we look at it, is that I can deal with situations because of him that's in me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I can go through all things, okay? I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And so this is a place where believers strive to achieve to, having to do with our show last week when we talked about Christian maturity, and
mm-hmm.
it has to do with the believer who now has that, who is solidified in Christ. And what I mean is that they understand that, number one, God's not going to put no more on them than they can bear, okay? And number two, if God has given you a vision, he's going to provide the provision, okay? And when you understand those two things, this is a believer who's saying it out of faith, okay, that I'm going to be able to accomplish what the Lord has given me to accomplish, okay? I can do all things right through him who gives
mm-hmm.
me strength. And this is a person who understands, first of all, their calling, their lane, okay, their vision, and their purpose and their assignment, So this is not for the believer who's called to be a singer, who all of a sudden says, I'm going to be a preacher now, all things through him, and that's not their assignment, their calling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you know, Pastor, so it's interesting.
That's
I'm glad you
taken
put it
out
like
of
that,
context.
Too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'm glad you put it like that, too, because, you know, people, we say that when we're playing sports, we say that we're starting a business, and we just often use that, and it's misquoted and taken out of context. Now, another one, and we're going to go into it, because what I was finding when I was looking up this information, some of the things that I've even heard is not even apparently in the Bible. Because I remember Joanne, I did a show on something, and she said, that's a phrase, that's not in the Bible. And
right.
We hear it so much, we take it as gospel, as the word. Now, another one is Luke 11:9. It says, and I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. And we always end it with all these blessings are mine, because that was a song too. So that's
mm-hmm.
another one, Pastor. Let me log on this caller and then you can go into that one. Let me see who this is calling in. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing? Number ending in 97. Okay, so I guess they want to listen and not talk. Okay, Pastor, what do you have to say about that one? Because, like I said, some of these scriptures and verses, songs have been made out of. People have stood on them. They, and like I said before, I was talking about how my mother would quote scriptures and mark stuff in the Bible and highlight things. And we say we're standing on this word. We want it to come to pass. What do you have to say about that, Pastor, when we hear it so much, we start believing it, and sometimes it's taken out of context?
Again, it's, you know, seek, you shall find, knock, and it shall be open unto you. Again,
mm-hmm.
this is the person, I'm going to use the word motive. Again, it starts with motive. And so just like I have to go back to the Old Testament in the Chronicles when Solomon was praying. And the Lord said, I'm going to grant you, you know, your wishes. And then when the Lord asked him what he wanted, and what he asked for was for wisdom to lead God's people. And the Lord
mm-hmm.
said, because you have asked correctly, okay, and the Lord says, now I'm going to give you this. The Lord gave him like 15 other items that he didn't even ask the Lord for, because, see, if we believe in our God the way we should, and our God is by description who we say he is, he already knows what we want. And so when you read the Bible and you understand it, whenever God is asking you something, it is a test. God wants
mm-hmm.
to see how you're going to ask, what's in your heart, and then back to what I started with, what's your motivation? And so again, there's a lot of people that are seeking, asking, and knocking just for themselves. Not for the kingdom. There's a lot of people that are seeking, asking, and knocking, okay? And it is, you know, for a big name and for this. And so
mm-hmm.
there's two ways to look at it that I see in Scripture. God will bless the hard worker. God will bless that person who is there, who is praying hard, who is fasting, who is trying to improve themselves, and they are seeking. And it doesn't matter what they look like on the outside. God is looking on the inside, because as I tell believers when I'm preaching the scripture, who knows more than God? So you can't outseek him. And who can open
mm-hmm.
up every door? Only God. And so God will do that. Now, the flip side of that is God will give you something that you really don't need if you keep on asking, if you just keep on asking him. And God will open a door that you wish was never open. Okay?
Wow.
If you just like, well, Lord, I'm being faithful in this and crying on God, and God will open it. And let me share this, because this won't take long, but we can get to the next point. Many of you know now that I had said publicly that I didn't want my daughter to go on this missionary trip, even though she was about to go. And then on the last minute, everything fell through. And this was a big this was a big test for my daughter. My daughter's young, mm-hmm. and she's understanding the will of God, the permissive will of God, and the subjective will of God. And this verse came up a lot, Jeanette, and that's why I'm saying this point right now. And as her father, what I kept getting was, God is going to send you on a mission trip, but not this one, baby girl. No, Daddy, this is the mm-hmm. one. This is the one. This is the one. And so now, Jeanette, we're in a disagreement, but it's for a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mission trip. You follow me? But mm-hmm. I'm not saying, Lord, this can't be it, because I don't want my daughter in those conditions, in that country
mm-hmm.
right now, which I stated publicly before the church. There was another reason, too. The organization Campus Crusade is a multi-million dollar company that uses God's name wrong. They send these people on mission
yep.
trip. They make these kids raise money.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you be on Forbes, you know, Fortune list, you know what I'm saying, if you're supposed to be a true nonprofit and not-for-profit company? And I was
Correct.
Trying to get all of this. I was trying to get all of this into my daughter's mind that – If you are going to give a year of your life to go on the mission trail, you shouldn't have to worry about money. The organization should support that. That's what
mm-hmm.
I kept trying to get through her head. And so now, but in her mind, in her vision, what she heard at church, what answered her prayers and all this,
mm-hmm.
and she was like, Daddy, I'm going no matter what. God done show me. I'm going. This door is going to be open. This is going to be done. And that's what I had to teach her. And I said, Marlene, I've learned this through relationships, through businesses. You have 200 net. That so
mm-hmm.
many times.
You see, if you can see the look
on
my face, I'm like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. When we just so really think that God is speaking. And so
mm-hmm.
what I was trying to teach her is that, and that's what believers have to understand. No, the gospel wasn't wrong, honey. It's just that sometimes we get so caught up. That we get so caught up into what we want that we bend
mm-hmm.
scripture a little. Okay.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's interesting because when I saw that, I was like, okay, well, I know she want to go. I know she's excited. She's trying to raise this money. And I've been there, done that. I remember when my daughter wanted to leave the country, and she had applied for a job in Italy. And I wanted her to be independent, to branch out. But I was like, Lord, I don't want my baby to leave the country. And as a parent, it's hard, and you don't want to be one that discourage them, but
right.
it's a challenge. I totally understand that one, totally. And, yeah, and sometimes even when we pray to God, you know, and it reminded me of the movie Waiting to Excel when Whitney Houston said, Lord, next I got to be more specific because you can ask
mm-hmm.
him one thing and he may send
Come
it
on.
To you, but you better make sure you
exactly.
give him a little bit more detail.
Yeah. Yeah,
because he done sent you what you said you wanted, a general
yep.
description. You know, you ask
yep.
for a car, you get a Yugo.
Yeah,
you ask for a car,
yep.
I gave you one. So that's
yep.
true. That is so true. But, you know, you live and you learn, and Marlene has a big heart, and she do want to help and even teaching children. And
mm-hmm.
A lot of that you can find in a lot of the inner city schools, too, that really need
yep.
help.
Right.
But,
and exactly.
that's disappointment. Another one, Pastor, that I'm looking at, in that is, now it says the 17th most misused verses in the Bible, is money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10. That's another
yeah.
one that is often misused.
Well, I mean, we have to understand this because, I mean, when I talk to the believers about this, we have to understand that money is a tool, first of all, and the Lord clearly tells us in Scripture that it's not money, but it's the love of money,
mm-hmm.
okay? The reason why is because that is what changes the believer's heart. I have seen God come in and bless ministries and bless music groups and bless artists and bless ventures, Christian ventures. And then when the money comes in, it changes people. And
mm-hmm.
and that's what the Lord doesn't want us to do. And so money is – I'm going to say some things right now because – I have discussions with Christians on this, and some Christians think that, you know, saints just shouldn't have too much money. And that's not the issue. You can have as much money as you – I believe a Christian can be a billionaire, okay?
Mm-hmm.
God said it's hard for a rich man, you know, to get into heaven and to pass through the eye of a needle,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't say it was impossible. And that's why I tell them they're taking that scripture out of context, okay? Because a lot of wealthy Christians that I know are some of the biggest philanthropists. They give a lot of money
mm-hmm.
away, okay? But we also see a lot of believers with money that abuse it, okay? And then we see a lot of people take the stories out of context. So me, number one, as we did the story, and I told people already that in the body of Christ, mega pastors make up 1%. That is low, okay? If 5, 6, or 20 mega pastors have a jet, Jeanette, that's not going to
mm-hmm.
send them to hell, and that's not for the believers to get an uproar. If
mm-hmm.
if a man has built his ministry, God has allowed his ministry to grow to a certain level, and his tenth and his tithe, that's what a lot of people don't understand. A pastor is welcome by IRS law, by the Bible, to a tenth, to a tithe of his also. So if the church is bringing in, you know, 15, 20 million a Sunday, which some of these people do a month, okay, which some of these ministries do, Jeanette, that pastor's
mm-hmm.
tithe or his offering is so much less than what the Bible allows and what the IRS even allows. See, people
mm-hmm.
don't know that because they don't understand context, okay? And so now, this pastor has to be in Egypt one day. He has to be in the U.S. the other day, and then he's going to be in China the next day. I know some of these guys who have schedules like this, who fly like this, okay? God blesses them to buy a plane. They buy it. If that person flies to Africa and they're going to preach to 100,000 people over there and out of 100,000, 15,000 get saved, I say that's worth it every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know of this firsthand. And I know that the people who are the biggest critics haven't gave a dime to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And these big critics wouldn't get in their car and drive around the corner to preach a sermon to the homeless. Okay? And so they're talking about the love of money, you know, is the root of all evil. That is right on target. It is the love of money, not money itself.
Mm-hmm.
The church needs money. Churches
correct.
Are foreclosed
and you know what,
on.
And, mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And you know what, Pastor, and that's one of the things, and that's why with picking some of these scriptures and the ones that I'm reading out is one that I've heard the most in regards to people because it's their misinterpretation, their misconcept, because I even got to tell my clients, even with me being a businesswoman, and I have clients that don't want to pay their fees sometimes, and like I tell them, I have to pay leases on the building. But what I'm going to stop
exactly.
doing is paying these leases on these buildings before I pay my mortgage because I'm not going
right.
to be homeless messing with you guys. But they have
right.
this misperception, and because of, I don't want to call it their ignorance, but because of things that they've seen, they carry this, and it's taken out of context. It's misinterpreted. And a lot of times individuals are not open-minded because they've heard it so much to where it's changing the numbers of people even attending church. Because I heard you, and I want to tell you this too. You preach something Sunday, and you were talking about, because once you get in the spirit, you want to be in the spirit. And a lot of times people don't remember what they say when they're in the spirit. But you were talking about your 8 months. Of doing it. And there's a lot of feedback that I get on Facebook, a lot of things that people say, even listening to the show, that it helps them. Now, some individuals are still scared to take that leap of faith because we talked about church hurt. We've done a lot of different shows to try to let people know to bring them back into the church, no matter whether it's Higher Dominion Worship Center or wherever, because we are living in our last days and things are happening. You know, I was talking to I sent Keith a text this morning because I was watching on the news about hurricanes in Mississippi.
Yes.
And Georgia and Florida, and we got all this stuff going on, and then people want to run to God when it's convenient for them, taking that out of context too. So we have to do better. So we're even taking time out of our busy schedule to try to educate individuals as much as we possibly can by doing our part. And you're doing an awesome job. Even though your membership may look low, people are still listening to where people are coming to me saying, Jeanette, you guys need to do something bigger. You need to do something better. And I'm like, his schedule is just as busy as mine. I don't know how we're going to do all of this. But you just never know. And so just even putting it out there that if they do want to see you or come hear you preach and you talk to something about your reputation has been restored. So individuals are going to have to learn how to forgive, and they're going to also have to learn how to move on. Because as long as you continue to go forward, that's going to turn things around. It's really going to turn things around. Now, you know in your heart, because you have a gift of discernment too, so some things I don't need to tell you because you already know, but just keep on doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing.
And you have to understand that, just like what I was saying on Sunday, it's so important for us to be in the Spirit of God and to understand who people are. And my mom taught me a long time ago, considered a source. And so, you know, one of my biggest critics, I'm not afraid to say this on the radio because, like I said, I ain't scared of nobody. One of my biggest critics, I found out, you know, did a 10-year prison stretch. And when I found out, and he's like, now what you going to say about me? I hugged him and I prayed for him. And so what you have to understand is that, is exactly what I understand, is that most of the people criticizing you are people that are dealing with stuff themselves, and they are dealing with a guilt in such a way, you have to understand this, that their issues with God and not with man. And when I say that, I really believe that, Jeanette, because, you know, I have to tell people, see, this is what my bishop said to me, and it is so unfair, but it has to do with what we're doing today. He said, Dan, he says, the biggest thing you're going to have to deal with was that you was born in church, raised in church, did everything right, lived everything right, got married right away, kids right away. Your kids were even saints. They won all the contests. You won all the contests. Y'all went to Bible school. Y'all did this. The church grew. The church is that. And people saw you. And this is what helped me, not what I'm saying about myself. People saw you as being infallible. And he says, I understand it because the same thing happened to me. And so the first time you show yourself as being human or man, people will put you up on a pedestal. And so he says, it's not fair, it's not right, because there's only one Christ Jesus. But people are so in a place where they're saying, we just want to find one pastor that ain't never messed up. It's not going to happen. Moses, Elijah, David, Daniel, we just want to find one first lady that just don't get – it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And so it has to do with the subject that we're doing. It's because people bend scriptures because they have false expectations. People take scriptures out of context because they don't want to see the Bible as it really is. And what they really should do is, the word of God is true, it's untoward, and the only person who is able to live up to the law and the gospel, the Bible itself as a whole, was Jesus only. Nobody else falls in that category, okay? And so just like me, like I told myself, and like I tell other individuals, what you do for Christ will last. You cannot be... You can't try to have a seeker-sensitive ministry where you just bring people to bring them in, and you can't have a ministry or you're watering down the word to bring people in.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want people to support you and people to come in who are really hungry for the word and build the church off a good foundation. Because, you know, I've said this before doing this radio show. We had a packed house, a full church, all of this. I had all of that as a pastor. I can guarantee you probably three-fourths of the people weren't listening. They were there for the crowd. And that's happening in a lot of big churches, a lot of mega churches. And so we have to stop this. And what God is doing now, as I talked about Sunday, he's shaking things. He's shaking things up. And things are moving. And where a lot of pastors were entertainers before, they're being replaced by teachers. They're being replaced by people that know the word and people that are coming with the word strong and giving a good context to Scripture. So that's why I love this subject on today.
And you know what? And that's true. And I wanted to put that out there is because, like I said, as long as I've been in Oceanside, because I've been in Oceanside since 86, I didn't know you guys. I didn't know you, your sisters. I didn't know none of you guys until, and you know how I walked into Higher Dominion Worship Center. It was just at a meeting that I was supposed to, and I'll never forget that day. And it was just interesting, but so I've never, and I'm not messy. I ain't got time for that kind of mess. This stuff gets on my nerves. So, but keep doing what you're doing, and being there, done that. It will all pay off. It don't, like people say, well, other people think about you is none of your business, because that's all on them. And so, sometimes even with the Bible, people use the Bible for good and evil when you're talking about these scriptures too. Now, if you want to call in and you have something to say, you can give us a call at 516-387-1914. You know, and it's kind of interesting because I got a message from somebody on Messenger, and they was talking about what you said. It don't matter what people say about you. I'm like, my grandmother used to say, I can't take your likes to the bank. I don't care what people say or think about me. I keep it pushing. One thing I ain't never had was a low self-esteem. So
the people who are doing that are the people who are not doing anything. And that's why it's so important to understand that what the spirit of distraction is. And so it'll never stop me. You know, I know it won't stop you. And that's what I'm teaching, you know, my family. That's what my wife and I talk about that a lot. Because as you begin to grow each step, it's the devil's job to distract you. I want to go into this point real quick because we haven't touched on it yet, and it might take a few minutes. And the reason why is that we're talking about context, taking scriptures out of context, and I want to let the believers know, there they go again, with a Greek word, with a Hebrew word, with an Aramaic word. The reason why a good pastor does that is because they want to give you what we call the etymology, and that is the origin of a word. And so when you get the etymology of a word or the origin of a word, you're giving the foundation or the true meaning of that word. And so when I preached on Sunday and we were talking about hope, I had to give the Greek word for hope, and I gave the etymology of it because that's what the writer has in mind when they're using the form of that word, okay? And as we've learned, the Greek language, the Hebrew language, oftentimes will have sometimes as many as 7-8 different meanings of the same word. And that's why it's important for a good pastor, good leader, male or female, doesn't matter, to give the etymology and to give, you know, the true origin of that word so we understand what are they talking about. Okay, and that's what the writer is talking about when he's saying, when the Lord was telling Peter, if you feed my sheep, if you love me, feed my sheep. I think that's a good text because in one meaning, it's the love is a brotherly love. In the next meaning, the love is a family or fatherly love. And then the last meaning of the word love is agape, the godly type of love. And so to not take that out of context, you have to understand that. And that's what happens a lot of times in scriptures is that sometimes, you know, people want to make it real quick. They want to hear a word and they want to get out, and they leave half understanding. And it's important. And so now, with the good tools that we have, good concordances
mm-hmm.
you can get online, logos that you can get online, take the time and break those scriptures down yourself. Use the key index. It was so funny because my wife and I were showing one of my sons the context and the concordance in the back of the Bible. They're like, what is that? We ain't never seen that.
I know.
Because all they all they do is Google everything. And we're like, no, you need to, come on, here. What's that number for? That number is to take
mm-hmm.
you over to the Hebrew concordance, and it's going to give you the correct meaning of that word. And then this number will take you back to the Greek concordance. Well, that's work. And see, like, no, that's not too much work when you want to know the truth. And that's what this whole
mm-hmm.
Call is about today, knowing the truth. We got another caller?
And you – no, for some reason you're,
okay.
It keeps going in and out as I'm listening to you talk. I don't know if it's
okay.
your phone, my phone, but I can hear the staticky. But you know what? And that is true, Pastor, because a lot of times individuals are afraid of the truth. It's like, you know, that movie when he said you can't handle the truth because people don't want to hear it. Now, I have some information. I'm going to read this word for word.
Go ahead.
Because I'm going to let you tell me if these things are actually in the Bible or not in the Bible. Because a lot of times, like I say, we quote scriptures and verses like it's the gospel, and sometimes it's something that we've heard. And a lot of times it's not always true. My phone is blowing off the hook. Okay, so 10 popular Bible verses that aren't actually in the Bible. Now, spare the rod, spoil the child. And we already talked about money is the root of all evil. God don't like ugly. This is a good one. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Money cometh to me now. Blessed and highly favored. Touch your neighbor. All things work together for good. God moves in mysterious ways. Pride comes before the fall. And it's still loading. But those are some of the things, just to name a few. You
well,
know, Pastor, some people really believe those are scriptures.
Well, here's what's happening with those. What's happening is that, let me do it this way. I grew up thinking for the long time that I lived on Glen Alley, Glen Alley, Glen Alley, Glen Alley. Because I heard it so many times. And we moved from Alabama when I was so young. And when I went back and I recognized our house that we lived in, and I looked on the street, and the street said Glen Abbey, A-B-B-E-Y. and I could have sworn somebody lived on Glen Alley, A-L-L-E-Y. And it was hearing. And what happened was I never took the time to ask anybody to spell the street or how do we spell the street name we lived on. And so a lot of those quotes that you just gave right now is that somebody, you know, take the Bible verses, they smash it down, and then they turn it into a colloquial. And
mm-hmm.
so a lot of those are rooted in actual scripture, but
correct.
They're not given the full and actual Bible verse. And what they've done now is that, you know, see, let me give you an example. When we say touch our neighbor, that's actually coming from the Bible verse that says, if any two of you would touch and agree.
Agree.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That is a real Bible verse. But the preacher preached that and did say that, and I've heard the message. And now the preacher says, now that you understand it, yeah, touch your neighbor. You know? And so now we're in church, and why are you touching your neighbor? Because if I touch you, we're going to get a blessing. And so somebody runs home and they Google touch your neighbor, and then they don't find it in the Bible, and they won't find
mm-hmm.
those exact words. What they're going to find is that if they was listening to the whole message, they will find that if two of you, you know, if any two of you would touch and agree, as in holding hands with each other or anoint each other, as the Bible says, yeah, it's a real Bible verse now. And yes, it is in the Bible, but it's taken out of context, or it's been slang down, or put into a colloquium. You follow
mm-hmm.
me? And
mm-hmm.
so that's where it comes to where people have to understand that you have to know the Bible. Now, the other one, money coming. No, you ain't going to find that in the scripture. But the Lord does say, you know, give, and it shall be given back to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And the preacher yelled out in his own words after he quoted that scripture, money coming. So you follow me now? And so, and that's what he was teaching them, that if you guys give, you come into the church, you give, you pay your tithes, you do it with a good heart, hilariously, as the scripture says, get, and the Lord is going to return that money back to you, you know, 30-fold, 60-fold. He's going to return it 100-fold. How is he going to return it? Pressed down, shaking together, running over, flowing out of your bosom, as the scripture says. And then the preacher added, what does that mean, saints? And he said, I'll tell you, it means money coming. And so, is it in the Bible? Yes, but not in that exact context again. And there is a requirement to it. So you can't just show up at church and money comes. No. You come in and you tithe and you give from your heart hilariously, right? And you believe that God will return back to you. It's going to happen. And so those are just two good examples how Scripture has been done that way. What happens is that for our church, I don't care if you Methodist, if you Lutheran, and you African Methodist Episcopal, our church, our people are more charismatic. We're more just by nature, okay? That's our African roots. That's in our DNA. And the same thing is with our preaching. Our preaching is interactive. An African-American pastor expects his congregation to talk back to him and preach. And in a white church, that's considered rude in some places. Okay, And so along with that, standing that, the African-American pastor also knows that he's not going to give a dull message either. He wants it to be, right? And so that's when he'll take some of that. But a good pastor will explain first what he's saying. A good pastor will give the scripture reference first before he'll say money coming.
Now, so you know, Pastor, and a lot of times, and I was trying to think of what the thing was, and I'm looking right at it now, and one of the pictures that I put out there, it says, Holy Bible, read me, because a lot of times you can pray for yourself, you can read it for yourself, and like you said, if you have any questions, you go and you ask the questions. But now I have some information, and it talks about 8 reasons we don't read the Bible. Because a lot of times we depend on other people hoping that they're telling us the truth, and we need to go read it for ourselves. Now, the Bible is our only unchanging lifeline to our faith. It's the words are truest and most transferable expression of God. Now, only this book level is the playing field for any one of us to approach God. And sometimes, you know, I had bought a book because I buy a whole lot of stuff. I would go to the Christian bookstore and buy all this stuff. I got scriptures at your fingertip. I got how to read the Bible, how to pray. I got so much stuff, it's crazy. I got one even talking about when to speak and when to listen. So it don't do me no good, but because I still be talking too much. But the thing is, we know that the Bible text is alive, so why do we settle for being once removed from the source? Pastor, why do you think a lot of people are afraid to read the Bible?
Well, I would agree with that, but I'm going to go with your first thought. I think people are more or less too lazy to read the Bible. It's important for us to understand that if you understand that how important the Bible is to your life, you will take the time to read the Bible. And you also see how vital it is to read the Bible, because there's so much good information in there for the believer. And, you know, we just have to do it. And what makes it good is, I'm going to go back to what you said earlier. And that is Sunday school. When you come up in a good church and you have a good start like we did, and you have a good Sunday school, and a good Sunday school teacher, Jeanette, will make the Bible exciting. And they break it down in such a way, and then you learn it, and it's fun. And we have contests, and we have all these things. And then you go to Vacation Bible School, and then you go through your different classes as you matriculate. What happens is that a lot of believers, more and more now, or coming into the church and are being saved later in life, in their adulthood, and they don't have the luxury of children because they have to work sometimes 40, 45, 50 hours, and they have to take care of children. They have to get ready in the morning, go to work, work all day, come home, pick up kids, take care of kids, look at bills, and then try to find the time to read the Bible. And so I query a lot of adults. They say, Pastor, I just don't have time with everything that I'm doing. And what we've done is try to break the Bible down into a few verses you can read each day, key verses to help believers understand. Because I understand that. I get that. And all of us who have had the opportunity to grow up with the Bible, grow up in a Bible-believing church, good Sunday school teachers, we ought to just give God some praise because we are so blessed because we understand. And I don't laugh and I don't, you know, get mad at people or look at them like they're dumb when they don't understand the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. Or when I talk about books of law, books of Moses, the four Gospels, the books of poetry, you know, the books of the prophet. What is a major and minor prophet? And then you talk about context. So the Bible is not a harlequin novel. It's not a book to be played with. It is the living word. You know, basic instructions before leaving earth. You know, that's how I say it. Or you could put it the way you said at the beginning, Jeanette. But it is so germane to the believer to want to get connected with this book and then to learn it in context, because the Bible will enrich your life in such a way that you will reach your full potential in life. And that's why it's so important, okay? And so a person can't come to church and hear a Sunday message, you know, and not understand it all as a new believer because it's not a Sunday school class. And what they often have to do is take notes, take that syllabus, take that text, go home. And then if you have questions, write them down now and then bring those back to an elder, to a minister, to the pastor, to a missionary, and talk about those, or pray on them, and then look them up, get a concordance, and do research on your own. I know people who are doing that now. And so that's so important about the believer. The last thing I want to get in their mind before we get off the phone today is that the enemy wants to use context to try to separate the believers or try to put the believers in a place of confusion to have them doubt what God is actually saying and to have them not hear what God is really saying. And so most of you know how to contact me through our website at hdwc.life or where the church is at 800 West Mission Road, San Marcos. If you have questions about any portion of Scripture in context, you can give me a call. You can leave a message on the website, or you can come by, and we'll be glad to do it with you. I love the topic on today, Matt, and I'm glad we had a chance to share with some individuals.
Well, next week is really going to be powerful. I think we need to do a 90-minute show for next week because it is called The Holy Spirit Don't Lie. That came to my spirit. I almost forgot it, but we're going to talk about that. And I want to get in touch with this lady. I don't know if you know Ms. Brown. Ms. Brown. And she's good. She's been waiting to come on the show, so I didn't know whether to just take a different day to bring her on. But I think I told Lisa, what we can do is we're just taking 90 minutes, and I'll let her come on with us. But we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit don't lie. So we got to get ready for that, Pastor. Okay?
That's numerous.
All right?
So, okay.
Until next week, remember, you got
God bless
this.
You.
Thank you. Thank you for joining Jeanette Abney and Pastor Dennis Dale as we talk about From the Pulpit to the Altar here at Pressure Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Until next week, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.